Ave Maria Radio and Renewal Ministries presents Fire on the Earth, a compelling look at the new evangelization through inspiring teachings, interviews, and testimonies. Here's your host, Peter Herbeck.
Welcome, friends. This is Peter Herbeck, your host. We're beginning another week of Fire on the Earth, a program dedicated to the promotion of Catholic mission and evangelization. Hope you had a wonderful and a restful weekend. Opportunity to enter more deeply into this season, the season of Lent, as we follow the call of the Lord. As he went into the desert for 40 days and 40 nights, the church now leads us in a season of repentance, of coming back to God, of making sacrifices, doing almsgiving and fasting and extra prayer and reading and service and these kinds of things. And I hope you're engaging in this season. It can be difficult. Life is very full and packed for most of us. But remember this, every little effort we make from the heart means a great deal to our Lord. Every little deed that's done in love is powerful. And actually, every deed done in love from the heart will echo into eternity. So don't despise small beginnings if you're taking some initiatives. I know that some friends are taking larger initiatives and doing Exodus 90, and some are fasting long periods of time, and some are giving extra alms in the season. And it's really great to see, because it really is a time for us to, you might say, by entering the desert and following the Lord into the desert, it's a time of stripping away distractions. A great distraction to strip away potentially could be turning off your television more often, or not getting on social media for the 40 days of Lent, you know, not getting on your Facebook page until after Lent. I know some young people who are doing that, and I'm inspired by them because they're on it quite a bit. They're on it daily, and to shut it down for all of Lent is quite inspiring, you know. But we've been walking through this season together, and I want to help keep us focused on it and take a little bit of a different angle this week. At the heart of Lent and the heart of any purification that we endure, we go through for the Lord and in the Lord, is to make us more like him, right? To be conformed to Jesus, to be most like Jesus. We want to become all that he's called us to be, made us to be. And fundamentally, what he's made us to be is to be like the Father, to learn how to love. God is love, and the heart of all of this is to help us love God with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength, and love our neighbor as ourselves, to walk in love. And it's helpful to be able to acquire disciplines that help us subdue the selfish drives within us, and the ego, and the passions, and the pride, and all the stuff that puts us before God and puts us before others. And it takes a cooperation of the will. This is what Lent is about, that cooperation with God and making clear decisions to do something to change the direction that we're moving in so we can, again, be more like Christ. But we do it knowing first what God has done for us. It's important for us to realize that in Christ, that this whole process of being conformed to Jesus is cooperating with his work in us. And the in us is the part that I really want to talk about this week, that our capacity to become like him is even possible, is only possible because he's come to live in us. He's come to dwell in us. You're a temple of the Holy Spirit. And I want to begin with 1 John today, a passage I've read many times over the years here on the program, but it's so beautiful. It gives you a glimpse into the depth of the awareness that the apostles had of who they were, what they saw, what Christ had done in them, and what it was all about. So let's begin. Chapter 1, 1 John, verse 1. That which was from the beginning, which we've heard, which we have seen with our eyes, and which we have looked upon and touched with our hands concerning the word of life, the life was made manifest, and we saw it, and we testified to it, and we proclaimed to you the eternal life which was with the Father, and was made manifest to us. That which we have seen and heard, we proclaim also to you, so that you may have fellowship with us. And our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. And we are writing this that our joy may be complete. So the joy that they're longing for is to draw others into the fellowship that they've come to experience concretely in a real way, not just a thought, but a lived experience of entering into fellowship with the Father and with the Son. How did that happen? Well, they said, essentially, God took initiative God took initiative, for God so loved the world that he gave his only son. So they said, the eternal life that was with the Father has appeared to us. So the apostles were the first to see the great miracle of God's saving action to recreate, to create anew, to bring his life to a fallen race of people who are subject to the powers of sin and death and are separated from God's life. They said, we beheld the word of life. This life that was in him was made manifest to us. We saw it, we testified to it, and now we're proclaiming it to you. And then they basically underline here, they're saying, what are we saying to you? What we're telling you is that we have seen and we have touched and we have experienced the reality of eternal life. And this life is in a person. It's in Jesus. And through the gift of the Holy Spirit, that is the very life of God given to us in baptism, the Father and the Son come to dwell in us. This is what they mean by the fellowship that they have with the Father and the Son. The life, passion, death, resurrection of Jesus, his ascension into glory, his dealing with the sin problem, has made it possible for us to become children of God in a unique way. Now, we all know every single human being bears the image of God, and in some extended way is a child of God. That is, God is their Father, whether they know it or not. But what the apostles are speaking about here, what John is speaking about here, is something deeper. It's the reality of being born again by water and the Spirit, becoming a new creation. And you're not just made in God's image and likeness, a fallen creature, yes, that has the dignity of being made in the image and likeness of God, but is separated and subject to sin and death. Jesus came to deal with that, and he said, unless you were born again, you can't enter into the kingdom of heaven. Unless you're born again, you cannot enter into this fellowship at this level of what the apostles are talking about. That's all made possible because of what we're celebrating throughout this season, and what we'll celebrate ultimately in Easter, is Jesus' saving deed. What have we been saved from? Why did he go to Calvary? We've been saved from the consequences of sin, which produces death. But what that means is not having life in us. We have no, we don't have the God life in us. And it's because we're not united to God. What we need, friends, is the thing we're ultimately destined for, is to live from God, to live united to God. And God's great plan, what Paul talks about, is the mystery that was hidden for ages, the mystery of God's saving plan, is to not just give us a set of laws that we try to conform to, but to take those laws, the Ten Commandments, for example, and put them into our hearts through the Holy Spirit, and to have the heart of Jesus made present within us in the power of the Spirit, the heart of Jesus that loved God completely, totally, with his entire life, fulfilled every commandment, obeyed him right till the end perfectly, that heart, that Jesus, not the heart of Adam who fell. All of us are children of Adam as well. And so we inherited original sin from Adam, but now we're born again by the power of the life of Jesus Christ. And the key is, and what they're communicating to us, is that we've been given a share in God's life, and that life is in us. Let me give you an example. Paul states it very clearly in Colossians chapter 1. It's in many places in the New Testament, but this is beautiful. He talks about the mystery that was hidden for ages, beginning in verse 26, chapter 1, his letter to the Colossians. The mystery hidden for ages and generations, but now made manifest to his saints. To them God chose to make known how great among the Gentiles are the riches of the glory of this mystery, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. Him we proclaim, warning every man and teaching every man in all wisdom, that we may present every man mature in Christ. For this I toil, striving with all the energy which he mightily inspires within me. Paul is toiling, he's preaching, he's suffering, he's working for the revelation of this mystery. A mystery that he says here was hidden for ages and generations. What is that mystery? He describes it here is as Christ in you, the hope of glory. That's a mouthful. You can chew on that every day for the rest of Lent leading up to Easter and ask the Holy Spirit to help you understand that truth about your life. The eternal life that was with the Father, that the apostles testified to, they saw in the person, especially in the resurrected person of Jesus Christ. They saw in Christ risen the destiny of the human race, because it's Mary's son, who is also God's son, who bears human flesh, who passed through death into eternal life. He's the only hope for the human race. Jesus is the firstborn of a new creation. He's the beginning of that new creation. And all who are baptized into Jesus and are born again, as Jesus himself said, by water and the Spirit, who receive the life of Jesus, become children of God in this entirely unique way, such that Christ is now not just a historical person, but Christ now lives in you, in the power of the Holy Spirit. And so the apostles could say things like, greater is he that's in me than he that's in the world. There's a power in you that's greater than every other force outside you that's working against you, and even the forces of your fallen nature, of my fallen nature. There's something greater in us. It's Christ. It's his presence. It's the power of the Spirit. It's the power that raised Jesus from the dead. So friends, it's greater than your discouragement, your despair, your unforgiveness, your anger, your frustration, your pain, your suffering. It's greater than all of it. The biggest news in your life, and the reason that you can fulfill the commandment to love God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, is because Christ lives in you. And you don't have to become a slave to this world, to the things of this world, to find significance, to find purpose, to find your identity, because this is it. This is your identity. You actually know as well your destiny. Paul says it here in this simple line. The riches of the glory of this mystery, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. What is hope? Hope is the confident expectation of the fulfillment of your life. Where's your life going? What's your destiny? Hope is great confidence, a gift from God, a theological virtue that can be deepened and strengthened in life. It's a deep, profound conviction in which we stand, knowing that in Christ we're headed for glory. My life doesn't end in the humiliation of death and sickness and disease and whatever it is that will ultimately take my life. But I will pass through death and I will enter life if I die in Jesus Christ. If I say yes to him, the eternal life that the apostles saw, they lived for. They knew where their life was going. So all the bad stuff that happened to them, the martyrdom, the rejection, the hatred, all the stuff that came their way for standing up and proclaiming Jesus, the unique person that Jesus is, the God-man, they could take whatever hit came their way. Nothing ultimately discouraged them because they understood their life was headed for glory. That's your destiny if you're in Christ. Let's take this up again tomorrow. Hope you can join me. God bless you. Have a great day.
Each program of Fire on the Earth with Peter Herbeck can be downloaded at AveMariaRadio.net and RenewalMinistries.net. Fire on the Earth is a production of Ave Maria Radio.
Friends, I'd like to offer you Peter Burak's new booklet, The Game Changer, in which he talks to us very clearly about the role of the Holy Spirit in our lives, especially to empower us to engage the mission of the church. That's a calling that's there for all the baptized. If you'd like this free booklet, you could call us at 1-800-282-4789. That's 1-800-282-4789. Or go to renewalministries.net/FOE. You can also listen to our past episodes or subscribe to our podcast. God bless you.